Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Teresa. I'm here watching the NCAA basketball tournament. That's about it.
Oh, Lord. Look, first football and now basketball. Okay.
Well, it's March Madness. It's March Madness.
All righty then. Let me welcome to the chat room Cheryl B., all of our guests, and Miss Tamara. Welcome to the chat room. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com. Click on the radio show page and then the Talking Smooth Jazz tab. That will take you to the Stefan Earle Show. And then from there, you would click on the play chat button. That will bring you right into the chat room. If you would like to call in and speak with our guest, the number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. Keyboardist Stefan Earle is a composer and producer. His debut CD, Origins, embodies elements of jazz, rock, down-tempo, and new age. Stefan Earle, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, now that's much better. That's much better. We were having some phone issues before, but now you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay,
all right.
Great.
Glad to hear that. So now you are calling us from London, correct?
That is correct, and that's why we had some technical difficulties initially. I was hoping to call in via Skype, but unfortunately, I have a very poor internet connection, so I decided to call in from my cell phone.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for that. Now, were you born in London?
No, actually, I was born in Queens, New York. So I am a New Yorker, and I am now an expat living in London as of actually about a month ago.
Oh, really? All right. And what took you to London?
Actually, my day job. So I'm a corporate executive by day. And, I am now actually managing our European operations. And we're based out of London. And that's what brought me to Europe.
Good for you. Wow. You guys got any job openings? I would love to move out of there. Not only out of Las Vegas, but I would have no problems moving out of the country.
Well, it's a global corporation, and previous to this, I actually was managing our South Florida and Caribbean location. So I was constantly bouncing around those beautiful islands of U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Bahamas, and all over South Florida. So not a bad gig.
No, not at all. Okay, we'll have to talk offline so I can find out what the name of this company is and put in the application. Well, I have no problems with the traveling and all of that. That sounds great. And see, all this time I thought you were traveling for your job, you know, as a musician.
It's great. I live a double life. You know, corporate exec by day and musician by night and weekend. So, I don't usually share too much of my lives with the other half. You know, so when I'm at work, I pretty much keep it that way. And you know, when I'm out as the musician, I pretty much don't really talk much about the executive life. So, you know, kind of two halves of the whole, and keep them separate.
Okay, but then when you're out playing on gigs, I mean, they know that you are a musician?
You know what? I don't really have many conversations with my, you know, my existing team about what I do in terms of being a musician. So, yeah, there's a lot of folks that know, especially on my in my executive team. You know, they all know that I'm a musician, but not really to what extent, you know. So, you know, we talk about it briefly, but I never really get into that much detail.
Okay. All right.
So basically, so how do you balance the two? You know, if you're, you know, how do you kind of balance your musician side and then the corporate side that you have going on?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I don't know if I'm just blessed to be able to be right-brained and left-brained at the same time. So, you know, I'm you know, very much a creative person, and, you know, the creative side really rules who I am. But I also have that business background, and, you know, I'm currently, you know, managing our business over 8 countries in Europe. So it's a huge business. Mm. And, you know, I'm just, I guess, lucky, so to speak, to be able to do that. So I spend a lot of hours, obviously, during the day, you know, on the business end. And I really don't sleep much, so I have a lot of late nights, and I literally don't sleep at all from Friday night to Monday morning.
Wow. So go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when did you find time to do Origins?
In those cracks and crevices that I just spoke about. So pretty much, yeah, when I, you know, once I turned the brain off from, you know, the executive side to the musician side, let's say Friday night at about 7 or 8 o'clock or so, I literally would just be up until, you know, 3 in the morning. I'll get about 3 hours sleep, and I'm up at 6. And, you know, I'll get going from 6 and, you know, go from 6 a.m. till 3 in the morning, and then, you know, pretty much happens like that Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday night, I try to get some decent sleep because obviously I have a lot of, you know, exec meetings and so forth Monday morning, and I try to, you know, look refreshed and look ready to go. So I try to get a decent, you know, get to bed by a decent hour on Sunday night, about 11 o'clock or so. But, you know, Friday night to Sunday, it's pretty much, I'm running on pure passion is the only way I can really describe it.
Now, growing up in New York, I was going to ask you, when did you first start playing? When did you first learn how to start playing?
Yeah, it's a great story, actually. I was 11 years old. I was in fourth or fifth grade. I was in Catholic school, and the band instructor came into the class and says, "Hey, who wants to play in the band?" And I said, "Hey, sure, I'd like to be a drummer." And he said, "I don't think we have any more drum spots available, but try this." And he put this instrument in front of me, and it was this long black instrument. And I said, "I don't know what this is. What is this?" He said, "It's a clarinet. You'll like it. Try it." And I said, "Okay, sure." And that was it. That was my introduction to music. Started playing the clarinet, and from there moved to the other woodwinds, such as flute and ultimately saxophone. And really just started there. A few years later, got into, you know, keyboard. But, you know, the keyboard and the piano really was the composing tool for me. So I never actually studied piano, never learned to play the piano. I only studied, you know, music theory and woodwinds.
Now, when you learn how to play the clarinet first, did you find it easier to learn the other instruments after you learn one?
Interestingly enough, the clarinet is, if you learn the clarinet first, learning the saxophone might be a little bit easier. And the reason is because of the fingerings for the clarinet. It's a little bit more complex than the saxophone. The saxophone, between the upper and lower registers, pretty much duplicate the same notes. However, on the clarinet, it's a different set of notes. So once you learn the clarinet, and you can switch from that into the flute, and then if you go to saxophone from there, the saxophone you know, plays a little bit easier. I'm not saying it plays easy, but it's certainly a little bit easier than if you try to go from saxophone the other way around to clarinet.
Okay.
So let's talk about this debut CD, Origins. Tell us about your vision for this CD.
And I'm sorry, I missed that. About the, what of the CD?
Your vision. Tell us about your vision for your debut project, Origin.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's an interesting thing. Origins is the project I've always wanted to do. And I just, you know, I got out of music for a while, actually while I was, I guess, working on that corporate ladder. And actually, it wasn't until I met my wife and she said, hey, you know, well, I explained to her, you know, I'm going to put out a CD. It's in my, you know, it's in my list of things to do, you know, before I reach a certain age. And she said, well, why don't you just do it now? And I said, well, that actually sounds like a good idea. Why don't I do it now? So I started in 2005, actually, rebuilding my studio and putting together the pieces. And what I did at the same time were, at that time, I probably had a good, you know, 200 to 300 songs that I had written through the years but never recorded or never produced. So what I did was I started to, you know, think about over the period of 2005 to 2008, you know, what was I feeling now, you know, because things have changed for me. My life was different. The type of music that I was embracing is a little bit different. And ultimately, the tunes that I chose for Origins became what I felt embodied where I was at that point in my musical life. So there are about three of the tunes from Origins that came from that body of work, and the remainder I pretty much composed from the years of 2007 to 2009, and released the CD in 2009.
Okay. All right. So yes, everything is. So the CD is called Origins, and it has been composed and performed and produced by Stefan. And you're playing all the instruments?
I am. I am. So and that was tricky, you know, to capture the sound that you're looking for, and to do it in the way that it, you know, shows the expression of the instruments, sounds, you know, believable, not just to the general person, but also to other musicians. It really is a tall order, you know, to have a bass, not just a bass line, but the essence of the bass. You know, what does the bass do in a composition? What can it do? You know, what does it contribute to the piece? So to capture that and to compose for the bass, you know, not just compose a song and then add in a bass line, but to compose a bass line for the piece, you know, and use that philosophy for each instrument. And that's pretty much what I did. And so it took time to, you know, get back into my days of studying music and studying instruments, instrumentation, to learn, you know, what are the nuances of the bass? What are the nuances of the piano and the saxophone and the guitar, you know, as a lead instrument, as a accompaniment, and to embody that and put it into this body of work. So that it took some time to do, and that's why it took me some time to release the album. Even though I knew what I wanted to do with the songs, I still had to make sure that I had the right representation in terms of instruments.
And I looked at a video on your website, the video about creating Origins, and the instrument, the iwi. You talked a little bit about that. I thought that was very interesting, this instrument. Tell us a little bit about this, and then I'm going to get into some music.
Oh, I love the iwi. It's a beautiful instrument. It's iwi stands for electronic wind instrument, and the one that I'm playing these days is the Akai iwi. So it's actually, it's called an electronic wind instrument, and the name of this particular instrument is called the iwi, made by Akai. And what it is, it's actually a controller. So it controls other sounds, either from other synthesizers or sample players, you know. So essentially the iwi doesn't have to have its own sounds. It essentially triggers the sounds, you know, that are produced by other instruments. And it actually can have the fingerings of either a oboe or a clarinet or a saxophone or a flute, or actually even a trumpet. So if you can be a trumpet player and play the iwi with your trumpet fingerings and sound like a saxophone or a guitar or a trumpet. So beautiful instrument. I love the instrument. It enables me to, you know, play guitar lines, you know, utilizing saxophone fingerings and, you know, practice it and get the nuances of how a guitarist would play the line, but playing it as a saxophonist, so to speak. So it's just a great instrument. It's just so much fun to play. I love it.
Now, you can see Stefan play the iwi on his website, StefanEarlMusic.com. Very interesting little instrument. Okay, Stefan, I'm going to start with track number 5, and I'll tell you why. I heard your story, your inspiration behind this song, but living in Las Vegas, we have there's probably 2, 3, maybe 4 Cirque du Soleil shows here on the Strip. And I think that you have hit this song dead. You're a dead spot on this song for this, for that particular, you know, program, because it would fit their show perfectly. Tell us about the inspiration behind Le Cirque Enchanté. Did I pronounce that right?
Absolutely. Le Cirque Enchanté. And
okay.
One of my favorite songs on the album, and goes back many years to when I was, I believe, an early teenager and was exposed to the Cirque du Soleil for the first time. And I was just amazed. You know, I'd been to the Ringling Brothers Circus as a smaller child, and, you know, that's what I thought a circus was. And when I saw this, it was just completely magical. It was enchanting. It was wonderful. The music was just incredible. I mean, I literally, you know, just drooling at the music and the imagery. And it stuck with me all of those years. And you know, that song and that music was in my head. And so when I was working on Origins, actually, you know, like most of my music actually came to me while I was in the shower. So I was, you know, taking a shower and I'm sitting in there or standing there dreaming about this song and this music. And I literally rushed out of the shower and began, you know, recording it or laying down the basic concepts for the song. Just so I wouldn't forget it. And essentially, the way it came out at the end was just the way I heard it in my head for the past, you know, 20 years or so. So I really love this piece of music. It's the Enchanted Circus, and really the name describes it all.
Now, have you ever thought about submitting this song to Cirque du Soleil?
No, I have not. And no, you know, I write the music just because I love it. And, you know, in terms of getting the music played in certain venues, you know, I maybe have not put as much time as I, you know, should or maybe could. But, you know, that's definitely a great thought for, you know, sometime in the future.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it's spot on for their shows. I think it would be a great song for it. We are talking to keyboardist Stefan Earl about his debut project, Origins. This is Le Cirque Enchanté. Lacerque Lashante. I know I'm not pronouncing that right, so let me make sure I got that right. But I like that song, Lacerque and Shante.
Right.
Lacerque and Shante, yes. That would be perfect. That would be a perfect song for the Cirque du Soleil shows. I think you should consider submitting it.
I certainly will. I certainly will. And, you know, it's tricky being, you know, a one-person producer slash composer, instrumentalist, marketing, you know, record label. It's you know, finding the time to get it all done. So you have to pick and choose and prioritize the efforts, you know. So when choosing the marketing efforts, you have to, you know, kind of pinpoint what's the key elements and kind of go forward. So, you know, there are some long-range targets, and that okay. certainly would be one of them.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. Now, that actually leads me into my next question. This wasn't my next question, but since you mentioned you're doing everything, you have a blog on your website about the 5 ways to support an indie artist. And me and Terry, we discussed this and we looked at it, and you made some very valid points about fans, the way that fans can support these artists. Can you explain how you came up with this and why you decided to write this on your blog?
Yeah, absolutely. The inspiration came from, you know, I read constantly. Any time I'm on a plane or on a train or automobile, well, not automobile, but train and plane, I'm constantly reading everything. I read whatever I can get my hands on. And at the time, I was reading industry news on the music business, the music industry, and how it's changing. And, of course, the article I was reading was talking about, you know, the takeover of iTunes and Apple and several other topics. But it made me think a lot about how the industry has changed and how, you know, these days a lot of artists are really empowered to, you know, not just create the music, but to get it heard. And so I wanted... You know, but I don't think that a lot of people understand, you know, what these artists are actually doing to get the music out there. You know, and these days, you know, the music is becoming more of a, unfortunately, more of a commodity. You know, so the commodity of the music is, you know, kind of devaluing the music a little bit. And I don't know if people appreciate the investment that the artists themselves are putting into this craft. You know, no longer is the days are where you have these, you know, major music moguls who are investing, you know, millions of dollars into all of the artists. Obviously, there are those artists that still is the case. But for the majority of the artists, especially the indie artists, you know, a lot of times they're making these investments themselves. So I wrote this as an informative piece to, you know, the folks in my circle especially, so that they kind of understand and, you know, get a little bit more enlightenment as to what goes into a project when an indie artist puts it out themselves. You know, typically this person has invested a lot of their own money, and, you know, by purchasing or supporting this artist, you're actually helping them to recoup some of those costs so that they can go ahead and, you know, work on another album. You know, so it's not about even recouping the costs and making a whole lot of money. In a lot of cases, you know, they're doing it for the love of the craft, and this allows them to recoup the cost and then to be able to produce more music. So I wrote that blog as an informative piece, you know, for the folks in my circle who I know love music and really wanted to know how they could help.
Now, one of the ways that you listed was to join their street team. So could you tell us what's involved in that when a person joins an artist's street team?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the amazing YouTube and everything becoming viral. And, you know, with music, one way that an artist, one tool that an artist has to become viral is the street team. So that means, you know, any time that a fan or a supporter, a music lover takes a little bit of their time to join a mission, you know, that a particular artist may have. So the mission may be, you know, marketing a new song or a new album or a new concert or, you know, whatever the scenario is. So joining a street team, some artists have a fan club, or if they're part of certain great websites such as ReverbNation.com, you know, they actually have a street team where you can join the email list and become part of a team who help the artist get a particular message out to the public. And so, you know, if you think that one, or if you consider that one person, if they connect the artist to five people, and mm-hmm. if you do this, you know, hundreds of times, that artist has just connected with a lot more people than they would have by just doing it on their own. So, you know, joining a street team is really important to, you know, help multiply the effect that the artist is trying to have.
Okay. All right. You can find that blog on Stefan's website, StefanEarlMusic.com. It's also posted on my and Mike's Facebook page. And I'll just read off the five ways. The first one, buy their music. Most important, buy their music. Number two is comment on their website or social network. And why do you think this is important?
You know, it's all about energy. And mm-hmm. If an artist is perceived to have energy, then others get excited. So it's part of that whole viral thing again. You know, if you go to a nightclub and there's no one in the nightclub, you probably say, well, there's not much happening at that nightclub, and you go somewhere else. So it's the same concept. If you land on an artist's social site and there's no activity, you would say, well, this artist must not be active or must not be popular, and so you may go somewhere else. So, you know, adding your comments, letting others know that this music excited you or touched you in some way, and that would promote for that person to leave their comments about how it touched them, and next thing you know, you've got some great feedback, and it's helping to promote the music and excite the folks that are out there that might want to put the music on a radio station or get it onto a satellite or a blog radio station. So it's important to leave feedback. You know, if you want to support the artist, definitely leave some good feedback.
And don't you think it's just as important for the artist to respond?
Oh, absolutely. It's a two-way street these days.
Right.
And it's no longer the idea that the artist is a superstar that's out there in a cloud somewhere and, you know, mm-hmm. these millions of adoring fans, you know, contribute and never get anything back. No, absolutely not. It's very much an organic effort, so it's got to happen both ways. Feedback comes in, feedback goes out, and, mm-hmm. you know, it helps to, you know, keep the momentum going for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number three is join their street team. Number four is see them perform, just as important as number one. And number five is just don't do nothing. Do something to support the artist. Great way. Great article. I really loved that article. Great article.
Yeah, I did too. I really did too. Now, Stephen, I got to ask you, with you being overseas, how are you going to try to implement some of these steps to get your music heard in the States, and will you be wanting to come to the States to perform your music?
And yes and yes and yes. So yes to all of that. Actually, you know, here in Europe, there is actually a very active music scene and a very active jazz scene. So, one thought that I had was to, you know, kind of investigate the scene that's here simultaneously, you know, continuing the efforts, you know, back home in the States. But, you know, in terms of performance, you know, that might be about another year off. I've got two projects in the work right now. One, I'm midway through writing a book, and second is the second CD. So until those two are completed, I probably won't be doing any live performing for at least the next year. So I'm kind of getting the game plan and the strategy ready for when that time comes, and it'll more than likely be 2012.
Okay. All right, I want to get back to some music. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about the book that you're writing, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, It's You, My Love. Tell me about this one.
The first year that my wife and I were we were engaged. We actually were engaged long distance. I had moved to South Florida we originally met in Chicago. And so she was living in Chicago. I was living in South Florida. And she'd make the trip back and forth. And, you know, one day she was in Chicago. I was in South Florida. I was missing her. And out came that song. So that song is a direct inspiration from my wife. And, you know, I wrote the song. And I was very much in a 1920s, you know, Debussy kind of a feel. I love the 20s. The music of that era is great. I love classical music. And I was feeling that. I was feeling opera. And I said, how can I take opera, incorporate it into chill and incorporate it into jazz? And that and the inspiration and the result is it's you, my love.
All right. And the vocals are by Alyssa Callahan on this song. It's You, My Love.
Thank you.
just beautiful. Love that. Wow.
Very nice.
I have a comment from the chat room. Joe from Germany says, wonderful, this reminds me of La Mia Bocca. It's a famous opera aria in a similar style. He says, if you like this title, you will like La Mia Bocca.
Definitely, and I will. I'll look out for that title. Not familiar with it, but certainly the music from that era. You know, beautiful music. You know, complex compositions. You know, with a lot of different movements, a lot of piano. You know, not a whole lot of notes that just don't, you know, don't fit the music, but notes that every note it seems to affect you in some emotional way. It was a beautiful era of music, and definitely inspired that song.
Very nice, very nice. So tell us about this upcoming book.
Yeah, so it's actually, you know, I consider myself somewhat of a teacher. And, you know, I've always been that way. I like to help people, and I like to give back. And I've learned a lot of lessons while recording and producing Origins, and actually, and recording and producing the upcoming album. So, you know, I have like a circle of folks that are also, you know, either budding producers, young producers, or, you know, getting, you know, folks getting into the game brand new, and they have a lot of questions. You know, what types of equipment should they utilize? You know, what's the best type of gear to buy? You know, what's the best way to set up their studios? And so I started a blog to kind of answer some of these questions. And the blog is homemusicproduction.net. And I started out, again, you know, you say, well, when do you find the time to do that? So, you know, I pick a period of time. It's usually between 4:30 a.m. and about 8 a.m. on a Saturday. And I'll pick a topic from the week and write a blog on something to do with producing music at home. And whether it's, you know, what type of computers to buy, you know, what type of software to get, what type of recording software. So I'll pick a topic. Usually it's a topic that a lot of these young producers or old producers are asking me about, and so I'll pick one and I'll write about it. But what I realize is that the blog, I've never done one blog, and I can't do a blog that takes one person from beginning to end. So I realized, you know what I should do is kind of string together, you know, some of the blog pieces that I've written to help take a person from beginning to end in terms of producing music at home, building their studio. Well, you can't really write a book that way. Or maybe you can, but this particular book won't really write well that way. So I'm starting from scratch. The book is titled Home Music Production, and it essentially will take a new musician or a new producer from beginning to end in terms of what they need to be able to produce music at a home studio. And so that's my book. And, you know, the best time for me to write actually is in flight. It seems that, you know, that 2 or 3 hours that you're in the air, it's peaceful, it's quiet. I put on my Bose noise cancellation headphones. The world is shut out. I pull out my iPad and I can just type, you know, 15 pages of you know, good text. And so that's actually the time that I'm using to write the book.
Okay. Now, not only is Stefan a talented musician, an author, but he's also a photographer. And he has some beautiful, beautiful work on a website called SEarlStudio.com. You can see his work there. And we were chatting offline earlier before the show started, and I was telling him about some of my favorite pieces on the website. There's one called Branford, Sweet Soprano, Attilan, Volcano and Lake, and then Lukava Sail. So, and a lot of your pieces, or rather some of your pieces, look like they're painted. So tell us how you, first of all, where do you find time to do photography work, and how you do your, how do you process your work?
You know, great question. And, you know, there was a period of time where I was no longer writing and recording. And I actually, you know, I got into photography at the age of 21. I joined the military as a reservist and got into the military as a combat photographer. So this is all while I was still working for the company I'm working for now. But I got in as a reservist, became a combat photographer and videographer, and was introduced to the camera and had a lot of fun, actually did some overseas tours, did my last tour in Bosnia and shot a lot of great photos, or I should say photographed, shouldn't use the word shot in that reference. So photographed some awesome images overseas. And when I came back to the States, I started to take these images and kind of, you know, play with them. And I realized, wow, I really love this stuff, you know, images. It was just another form of expression for me. And since I wasn't recording and writing music at the time, you know, as an artist, you need that outlet, some type of creative outlet. And so it became photography. So I purchased a camera and would just go out and photograph. And one of the other things that I loved to do was travel. So I would just travel to places, and I traveled throughout, you know, Central America and South America, and, you know, traveled through Europe and other places, and would just bring my camera. And what I would do is I would go back home and take these images. And at the time, there was a software called Corel Paint. So essentially, I have a digital tablet and a pen and a software that enables me to paint or repaint my photographs. So I can photograph an image and then, you know, utilizing various brushes and colors and different mediums like oil or watercolor or acrylic, the digital versions of these mediums, I can repaint my images. And so I was having a blast doing this between the photography itself, but also in the painting or the repainting of the images to, you know, kind of take one art form and kind of make it something different. And so I just fell in love with photography and digital artwork and decided to just keep creating for a period of time. And so there was a good period of about 10 years where I really took a lot of photographs and created a lot of paintings.
Yeah, the Branford piece reminds me, it looks like watercolor. And I love it because for the colors, all the colors in it is very colorful and it's very contemporary, and that's my style. It's a beautiful piece. So again, you can see all of Stefan's work on S for Stefan EarlStudio.com. Check it out. You can also purchase his work on Cafe Press as well. So it's all available for purchase. Beautiful stuff. All right, let's get back to one more song, Stefan, before we let you go, and I'm going to let you pick the next one.
Okay, wow, that's a tough one. I guess it would have to be Summer Rain.
Okay, and why this one?
Summer Rain, you know, similar to Le Cirque Enchanté, it's an emotional piece for me. Actually, a piece that I had written many years ago, and I took that piece and, you know, reshaped it and retooled it and recolored it, so to speak, and, you know, made it Summer Rain. And it's just a great piece that I love. I love the piano work on there. I love the bass work, the guitar work. So it's just an emotional piece for me. Yeah, I just love that piece. I think it's a great one to play.
All right, this is Summer Rain from Origins.
Thank you.
Summer Rain from the debut CD of Stephan Earle. It is called Origins. You can pick that up now on Amazon, CD Baby, and iTunes, and also on his website, StephanEarleMusic.com. Are you on Twitter?
I am. And my Twitter is, I believe it's at Stephan Earle Music.
Okay. All right. He's also on Facebook, so send him a friend request on Facebook. Check him out there as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
And thank you. You know, this is a great thing that you and Mike are doing. It's just incredible to be able to, you know, have this type of a venue to, you know, speak with artists and talk about music. And I just think it's incredible what you're doing. And just wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to bring you on and speak with you and introduce your music to our listeners. The CD, I love the CD. I really highly recommend that you submit the La Cirque Ashanti song to the Cirque du Soleil people. If I knew somebody, I would submit it for you. I don't know who to submit it to. But maybe I will do some research on that and submit it with your permission, of course.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. Everyone, please pick up this CD, Origins, and support the artist, as he says in his five ways to support an indie artist. The blog, again, is on his website, StephanEarleMusic.com. You can read that all of the information on that blog. And just check out his website in general. It's a really nice site, So we look forward to talking to you again, Stephan. So please keep us in mind.
I certainly will. I'll keep you abreast of both projects and things in general. You know, really appreciate the time, and certainly we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, and you have a great day.
You as well. Take care. Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye. Cheers. All right, that was keyboardist Stephan Earle. His website is StephanEarleMusic.com. The CD is called Origins, and you can pick that up on Amazon, CD Baby, and iTunes. Love that. All right, so in a few seconds here, Ms. Tamara is going to be calling in to tell us about her experience going to Brian Culberson's and David Benoit's concert last Wednesday. She was one of the recipients of the tickets that we have had to give away, and I asked her to call in to share her experience with us. So go ahead and call in now, Tamara. In the meantime, thank you all in the chat room. I hope you enjoyed Stephan's music. Please pick it up and support the artist. We always tell you, you know, it's very important to support the artist, so please pick up his music if you like what you heard. All right, let's bring on Ms. Tamara.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing, Ms. Tamara? Hi.
I'm doing good. I had to turn the microphone off. I could hear you talking on the air and in the phone. I had to turn it off. How's your Sunday? Stephan Earle was great, by the way.
Yes, he was. All right, now, as a recipient of the Brian Culberson David Benoit concert ticket, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. It was a lovely, lovely show. Very different from Brian's regular, you know, upbeat, you know, concerts that he normally does. He did get a little crazy towards the end, but it was really, really nice. It started out with Yana, I can't think of her last name. She was a student at the school. First of all, it was held at a contemporary art school in downtown L.A. Didn't even know it was there. I was born and raised in L.A., but very nice studio they had there. And one of the students came out and performed a few songs on the new Roland V piano. It's the latest product from Roland. It's a stringless piano, and Brian or someone musical would have to go into what that really means. But it was a very crisp sound, really nice. So anyway, so Yana came out and did a couple of songs, and then they had a string section come out. Three gentlemen, one was on cello, one was on an upright bass, and the other was on a violin, and my God, it was beautiful. And so they were the opening acts, and then Brian and David came out, and they had back-to-back pianos pretty much, and just did a David song, a Brian song, a David song, and they just went back and forth like that. And like I said, just really beautiful, a lot of classical stuff, but then some of their own music too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
mm-hmm.
just great. Like I said, towards the end, you know, it's not a Brian concert unless you get a little crazy, so they kind of chased each other around the pianos, playing both of them on one, and then scooting them off the bench and, you know, going around to the other side. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. The next one is going to be on the 31st in New York, so if anyone's out there, you have to see it. It's definitely a show that's
okay. Oh, in New York on the 31st. Okay.
Right.
All right. And where was your... Did you get there early enough to have front row seats?
I was in, yes, second row. I was in the second row. I was early, not as early as I was last week. You know, I showed up a whole week early to the show, thinking that it was the previous Wednesday. But, yeah, it was really nice. We sat on the wrong side, though, because we were right in front of Ryan, so we couldn't see his face. But, I mean, it was great. It was really, really good.
Okay.
I have pictures. You know, it takes me forever to post my pictures, but I'll get them done. Hopefully,
okay.
Somebody sees me. But it was nice.
All right.
It really, really was great.
All right. Well, great. Great. I'm glad you had a great time.
Yes, and thank you again for the ticket.
No, oh, you're so welcome. We want to thank Tara Callahan for those tickets, again, for her generosity in giving us the tickets to give away. So definitely thank Tara for that. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, Tamara.
It was great. It was lovely.
All right. Well, next time we get tickets for anything, I'll let you know.
Please do. You know, I'd like to know.
Okay. Okay.
All right, bye, chat room.
No, no.
Bye.
Oh, hey, Mike.
What's going on?
Nothing much. Okay, shall I hang up?
Yes, ma'am. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Mike, we have a minute to go. So do you have anything to add? Other than Boney James tomorrow night?
Yes, Boney James tomorrow night. So tune in, guys. That's going to be hot. I just wanted to add also that real fast that Tony Exum Jr. will be starring in a play. It's called Women Shop Talk While Real Men Wait. The initial kickoff for this play will be May the 5th through the 7th down in Jacksonville, Florida. And then they will be touring the whole East Coast. So log on to my page. You'll see the flyer up there with Tony's big head on the flyer, and hey, I said go out and support the play, and go out and support Tony getting his Denzel on. So he's gonna get his Denzel thing going. So
that's right.
Hey, yes,
that's
indeed.
Right. All right. Tomorrow night we have Boney James, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for that. And we have created a martini in his name. It's called the Boney James Saxtini, Absolute Citron, Cranberry Juice, and Chambord. So if you have those ingredients, mix one up for tomorrow night and join us for our interview with Boney James. All right. That is the show. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow night with Boney James. Until then, keep it smooth.